Thank you, Caden. That's very sweet. Let me get my stuff together here. Very happy and excited to be with you all this morning, to have the opportunity to share God's message with you all, though I wish it were for happier circumstances. I was originally scheduled to bring the message next week while the Herberts were attending Alexis's wedding, but as you all know, Miss Sherry's mother just this past week went home to be with the Lord. So I've been bumped up a week, and Caleb's going to be bringing the message next week. But I really want to encourage you to lift up the Herberts, particularly Sherry, and show them love and give them prayers. I know sometimes I think we kind of put them up on a pedestal and think that they're not affected by, you know, the emotions and circumstances that we go through, but they are, and they need our prayers, they need our love. So please continue to show that to them. Now, as is often the case, today's message wasn't my first idea for today. You see, I've been really struggling for some time with issues at work. There's a lot of drama and immaturity in my department, and it seems to continue to get worse day after day. It's making it hard to go there and hard to serve with a joyful heart. And frankly, it's wearing this old man out. It's like a weight pushing me down, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that's experienced this. If you have a job, you probably face this too. But my original idea was to share this struggle and to share the life verse that guides me in my work philosophy and how it's evolved over the years, and share the things that I've learned to fight this daily battle, hoping that it would help someone else in a similar situation. But then I was talking to Pastor the other night about the struggle and the toxic atmosphere that I'm dealing with. And I casually mentioned that I'm just trying to shine Jesus' light in a dark place. And that thought stayed with me, and it kept rolling around in my head with little there to stop it. And you know, we're all living in a very dark world. I don't know if it's true or not, but I read that Albert Einstein, who was a pretty smart fella, said that darkness doesn't exist, but that darkness is just the absence of light. And if you look at it that way, then you could say that the world we live in is dark because of the absence of light, and Jesus is the light that the world is missing. And we have the opportunity and duty to shine his light through the darkness so others will see. And that's the message that I believe God wants me to share today. Let your light so shine that others may see. Our light must shine. The light exposes evil, and the light is life. Now, there were many passages and verses that speak of the battle between darkness and light. And this message today isn't going to be particularly long. It's going to be very heavy on scripture, even though I still pared it down and left a lot out. But with guidance from the Lord, I've decided to focus on Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 through 16. So if you want to turn there, we'll read this passage and see that our light must shine. The light exposes evil, and the light is life. So Ephesians 5, begin in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd help us to learn from this, to grow from this, to see how important this light is and how badly this world needs it, and that we can be a light to others and help them. So just please guide us as we continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for the sake of time and not importance, I'm going to try to summarize the previous verses to set the context of our passage. Chapter 5 begins by urging us to be imitators of God as beloved children. And we've all seen that children tend to mimic and imitate those who they admire and who influence them. This can be a good thing, but sometimes not so good. Well, we are God's children and should do our best to imitate him. And then it lists examples of the darkness of this world: sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthy, foolish talk, and crude joking must not even be named among you, in verse 3. And verse 6 and 7 say that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. That's what we were. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We once were darkness, but now are the light in the Lord, and should walk as children of the light. So how do we become the light of the Lord? Well, in John 8:12, Jesus makes his second I am statement. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As his children, his heirs, followers of Jesus, we have his light in us. So we should walk as children of light, displaying the fruit of the light, which is demonstrated in excellence of heart, righteous behavior, honesty, and integrity. And in addition, walking in the light of the truth will aid us in discerning and learning what is pleasing to the Lord. It makes knowing the will of God clearer, easier to see. We were darkness, but now light in the Lord. But it's not enough to just be light. Jesus beautifully says in Matthew 5, verses 14 and 15, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We live in a world of darkness due to the absence of the light of Christ. We must shine his light within us so others will see and bring glory to our Father in heaven. But it's not enough for us just to be light. We can't hide it. We need to lift it up high so others will see and be drawn to it. The light exposes evil. It reveals what's hidden in the darkness. It says, take no part in the untruthful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. The light exposes evil. It reveals what's there. In John 3:19 and 20, Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Those who practice evil love the protection the darkness provides and hate the light that exposes their evil deeds. It is our duty to not only shine light and avoid partnering with darkness, but to expose the evil that the darkness conceals. And as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11, this duty is to expose darkness in the church, evil among brothers. He writes, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Paul clarifies to the church in Corinth that he wasn't advising them to shut themselves off and avoid the wicked unbelievers. After all, how can you reach unbelievers with the gospel if you avoid them? No, he was saying to expose the evil among the brethren. Not a pleasant task, to be sure, but it is our duty to allow the light to expose evil wherever it might be. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You know, as anyone who's ever stubbed their toe in a dark room knows, there's nothing in the dark that isn't there in the light. But the light exposes what's there. So evil loves the darkness and hates the light that exposes it. And looking at Romans 13, verses 12 to 14, it kind of seems like we have a choice to follow the darkness or follow the light. See what it says here. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Just like there's a battle between darkness and light, we all have an internal struggle between our sinful flesh and our renewed spirit. We must choose daily, in fact, minute by minute, to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Because as we see in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is as true today as it was in the day that it was first written, maybe even more so. We must choose to shine the light that exposes evil. And a light is life. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Now we tend to think of life that lasts 70 or 80 years or maybe more, Brother Cliff, as being a long life. And it is to us. But in comparison to eternity, it's nothing. James 4:14 says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We've seen that we have a choice to either spend our little time here in darkness or in the light. Romans 6:21 to 23 asks, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 1:4 and 5 says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is the light, and the light is life. Everlasting, eternal life. But it eludes those who are stumbling around in the darkness of the world. And it's all by God's perfect design. We see this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. From before the fall of man, God had a plan to provide salvation to sinners, to send a light into a dark world. Jesus is the light, and the light is life. I think we would all agree that we are living in a very dark world. Every bit as dark, if not more, than when these scriptures were first written. If we define darkness as the absence of light, then we can conclude that darkness is so prevalent because of the absence of Christ in so many lives. Because Jesus Christ is the light. And as followers of Christ, heirs to the kingdom, children of God, we live in his light. In fact, we are his light in this dark world. But our light must shine. We can't hide it under a basket. We shouldn't try to keep it to ourselves. We need to lift it up high so everyone can see. Now just picture for a minute. You're piloting a ship on the dark sea in the dead of night. You know the coast is nearby, but where? And then you see that beacon of light from a lighthouse, and you're safe. You know where you are. Or imagine you're camping in the dark woods, or there's a power outage in your home. Think of how comforting a lantern, a flashlight, or even a candle can be. There's light. I can see. We can be that beacon of light in the darkness, and others will see it. Some will not understand. Might even think there's something wrong with us. But others will be drawn to that light and be transformed by it, and then let their light shine for others. You know, we have opportunities to shine our light every day. At work, we can be positive in the midst of negativity. We can help others because it's the right thing to do, not because they deserve it. Smiling when you don't feel like smiling, and there's seemingly little to smile about. We can show love to someone who's going through difficult times, who might be feeling overwhelmed by circumstances. Show them love, right? Here in the church, we've been asking for people to help in the nursery. It's a great way to show your light. It's a dirty job at times, right? But it's very rewarding. Teaching Sunday school, whatever age, it can be challenging. But that's not why we do it. We're shining the light, and that's what we're called to do. Freedom that lasts will provide a great opportunity to shine the light and help people without hope see that Jesus Christ is the only source of freedom that lasts. But to let our light truly shine, we must have the right attitude. Just as you can do what you're told but still be disobedient because of the wrong attitude, we can do good things, even the right things, but our attitude could be hiding the light. John 3:21 says that, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Shine your light for the Lord, not just to be seen. The light exposes the evil, not only in the world, but in the body of believers. We should all search ourselves and expose the darkness in our own lives. It's a lot better than having someone expose it for us. But it is our duty to expose the darkness that will cause others' light to dim. This isn't a fun thing, and should always be done in love with the goal of healing and restoration. But it is a duty. We're able to expose the darkness in ourselves and others because, as Colossians 1:13 tells us, he, speaking of Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We can choose to walk in darkness or choose to walk in the light. We're not bound to evil or sin. And the light is life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27:1. Christ is the light of life. Through him, we can have peace and an abundant life here on earth. But because of his sinless life, sacrificial death, and resurrection from death, we can have everlasting life, eternal life through him and with him. Now, in closing, I'd be passing up a golden opportunity if I didn't mention the event that is going to happen tomorrow, right? The long-anticipated solar eclipse. We've been warned of the dangers of looking into it. There have been warnings of immense crowds to go view it. We have a predicted path for optimum viewing. There are warnings of calamity and it being a sign of the apocalypse. And we've been urged over and over that we don't want to miss this event. Now, honestly, the eclipse had absolutely no bearing on me choosing this message of darkness and light today. But I'm not going to pass the opportunity up either. Okay. Now, last week, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, remembering and rejoicing at the resurrection of Jesus, which proved that he is God, has power over death, and so can provide us resurrection from death and eternal life. You know, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all state that for 3 hours while Jesus was dying on the cross, the sky became dark. This wasn't an eclipse. It wasn't over in a matter of minutes. 3 hours. The people had no warning. There was no explanation for it. It must have been terrifying to witness this. Many probably thought the world was coming to an end at this absence of light. And think of how relieved they must have been, how thankful and overjoyed they must have been when the sun returned. And 3 days later, the tomb was empty. The sun was raised from the dead. The light was and is alive. So let your light so shine that others will see. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word with my family. And Father, I just pray that this would help someone to see that they have the opportunity and duty to shine the light that you provided. Help me to grow in this area and to not let the darkness of the world affect us. Father, we just pray that you would watch over us and continue to help us to grow, that we would be more like you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.